The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. The end of a busy week here, really, and a busy weekend with the NFL draft and some moves made today. Joining us in studio, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, Buddy Nix. Thanks for coming by tonight, buddy. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Murph.
The draft ends, and we think everything's going to quiet down, and you go out and make a lot of moves today. The trade for Jerry Hughes from the Colts. Tell us about him. What do you like about him?
You know, I scouted Jerry Hughes coming out of TCU, and so did all of our other scouts. I mean, we had good grades on him. We had first-round grades on him, and we liked Jerry. Jerry played defensive end at TCU, but he was a guy that he was an undersized defensive end, but he was his motor was running all the time. He chased all over the field and had ability, runs in the 4.6s and 255 pounds. And, you know, we saw him as an outside linebacker. And when he went and he played down at TCU, when he first went to the Colts, he played down for them. And then they stood him up some this year after Pagano got in there. But we think he'll fit what we do. We're excited about seeing he's actually, I guess if you – want to say he's underachieved for a first rounder at Indianapolis, but we know what kind of he's a smart guy and he plays hard, so we want to give him an opportunity and try to put him in a place where he can excel.
Where does he fit in this defense? What position would he play?
Well, I think we're trying to get some versatility all over that defense, and we'd like to have a guy can play more than one spot, and we think Jerry can play rush end for us, and also get some playing time at Sam linebacker and in sub packages, put his hand on the ground, let him rush the passer.
A couple of weeks ago when you had the voluntary veteran minicamp, I tried to keep track of where people were going on defense, and I couldn't. There's a lot going on there. I mean, it's hard to put a guy in a position, at least from the outside looking in.
Yeah, I think he's very, he's very versatile about where he plays guys, but I think his reputation has been that he puts them in a spot where they can do the best, where their ability fits.
After just 2 years here, did Calvin Shepard just not have a good fit in this defense? Is that what your thinking was?
Well, I think that's part of it. You know, again, Calvin is a and this is really what we scouted him for. He's a true middle linebacker, a guy that's going to play from C-gap to C-gap, and he can do that downhill now. He can do that. But again, and Mike Pettine made this statement during the draft. The days of the Mike linebacker and the strong safeties have just about fell by the wayside. Everything's moved over. You know, you've taken the Mike now, and he's moved over. You've moved Will to Mike, and now you've walked up a Brian Scott as a nickel linebacker. Now he's the Will, so those guys got to be able to run and cover. And we got Moats in there in the middle. He can play two spots. We got Alonzo Kiko is going to be in there. He can play two spots. Nigel Bradham can play Will or Mike. So that I think is kind of what we're coming to. And in the safety situation, you need a guy. Rather than a big, strong safety can come down in the box and play the run, you more need a guy that can walk up and play the slot.
It's so rare to see a player-for-player trade. It's almost refreshing in today's NFL.
You know, it used to be a lot of that, or it seemed like there was more of it back in the old days. But, you got to give up something. We don't like to give up anything. We want to get it all, but that doesn't work that way. You have to give up something, and we don't like giving up draft picks, and this was probably the fairest deal we thought we could make.
Buddy, you also today signed 16 college free agents, undrafted free agents, including a couple of notable names. Derrick Rogers, the Tennessee Tech receiver, who, if he doesn't have the off-field stuff, that guy could have been, what, first, second rounder maybe, right?
That's what we had on him, and I think most people did. You know, he's being from Tennessee, I've known his background, and he's from Calhoun, Georgia. I knew when he was playing in high school. And the guy's got a tremendous talent. He's made some bad decisions, and it's gotten him in trouble, got him out of the University of Tennessee from an all-SEC performance his sophomore year. And He goes to Tennessee Tech and has a so-so year, kind of played down to the competition, really. But this guy's talented now. He can play, and you know, the ball's in his court. He goes by the rules and does like he's supposed to, and or he goes somewhere else.
Most people would be chastened by that experience to think that you've got first or second round talent and not to be drafted at all. I mean, I'm sure you're kind of banking on that, that some of that has to get his attention, I would
think. Oh, yeah, I think he's humbled, and I think he's probably got a chip on his shoulder. But to tell you something about him, there was 14 teams after him after the draft. So we were one of 14.
And he chose here, I would think, for the opportunity that could be here, right?
Well, he did. I think there was a lot of reasons. One, his agent Russ and J.O. are close to him, are been in, you know, pretty close with him. Plus, he's got Robert Woods, and he had those guys. They worked out together. They knew each other. I think Derek felt comfortable coming here. Plus, he was one of our 30 visits. He sat in there in my office, and I told him how he'd be here and what we expected, and he could either, you know, make a living playing football or get a job, you know, so I think he understands that. Plus, he went to dinner with him. The guys did. Our coaches did. And he had a good visit. I think he liked it here.
The other undrafted free agent I want to ask you about, the quarterback from Washington State, Jeff Toole. Pretty good size. And certainly some people had him rated as a possible draft pick, right?
Yeah, and we brought him in, too. Mm-hmm. He was one of the 30, and we liked him. He's smart. We thought he had a good chance. He stayed hurt a lot in college and missed some time, but when he played, he is productive. So we think he's got a chance.
We're talking with Buddy Nix, the Bills general manager, the John Murphy Show presented by NUCO. I want to go back to last Thursday, Buddy, and you're sitting there with the eighth overall selection, and you make the deal with the Rams to drop down to 16. When did you start talking with St. Louis about that move?
I think it was Tuesday, you know, before the draft on Thursday. And they approached and said, would you be willing to move down? Yeah, and we talked about, you know, where they were and kind of what it would take point-wise to move up to us.
Did they make it clear that Tavon Austin was their target at that point?
No, not to me, okay. No. And I didn't ask them, but we all knew that that's probably who it was because it was rumored that the ninth pick was going to take Tavon if he had been there. So they thought if they could get to eight, they had him. And I think that was pretty clear. But we talked about the parameters a little bit, and we said we'll talk again at like round six or seven.
Do you use the trade value point chart? And because that worked out pretty much even between your two teams, even though it appeared, you know, you got an extra second rounder out of it, but you also moved down eight spots.
Right,
Do you consult that? Do you use
sure.
that?
Yeah, Jim Overdorf's got it right in front of it. Russ has got it, so they tell me what would be fair, and then sometimes you don't go exactly by it. You know, if you, well, we're 10 points short, that won't do, so we don't, you know, we're not going to lose an opportunity to do something we want to do just because of that chart, but it gives you a guideline.
Did it matter to you at all, and maybe this is just in retrospect, that the Jets were a team interested in Tavon Austin, and you kept him out of the division by making that trade?
Well, I'd say that was at least a bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, were you tempted? This came up Thursday night, too, after the fact. Were you tempted to move down further? Did you get calls about moving down further?
Yeah, we did. And we had an opportunity, and yes, we were tempted. But, you know, I don't like to push your luck too far. You know, we kind of knew what we wanted to do, and you hear people now after the fact say, well, you could have moved back to the second and all that kind of stuff, and I know one thing. They don't know that for sure.
Right.
So neither did we. And there were some guys that thought they could get a quarterback in the second round. They thought we were going to take one. So if we'd have moved back to 30 or 29 or 31 or whatever, it'd been very easy to jump over us and take the guy.
I know you did your you wanted Manuel, you did your homework on him, but did you ever think at 16 or maybe even at 8 that you'd have a look at the entire class of quarterbacks? Were you surprised that you had your choice of quarterbacks at that point?
You know, I tell you, a month ago I'd have said that wouldn't probably be the case, but as it got closer and by the time we got to Wednesday of the draft, I felt sure they'd all be there.
What was it that set E.J. Manuel apart when you went through your pretty exhaustive research on quarterbacks over the last 3.5 months?
I'd say it's about as exhaustive as you could get.
Have you ever done anything like that?
Yeah, we did that at San Diego when we went to Eli and all that bunch.
Yeah.
And I think you have to do that, really, and because we learn something every time we talk to them. I mean, every time we went back and brought them in here, we learned something else about them. EJ, I think the best way to put this would be to ask you is what's not to like?
Right.
I hear all these folks rip him and say they got him in the third and they had him in the second, you know. Most of those are guys that don't draft, and they got nothing to do with the draft. Yeah. You know, they don't work for a team, so they can put them anywhere they want to. But when you get people pinned down to what is lacking about this guy, it's pretty hard to talk about, or to come up with. I mean, there's always steps. He could step this way. Maybe his release is a little down or that kind of thing, but we got good coaches, and that's why we pay them good. They can correct that kind of stuff.
A couple of weeks ago, we had EJ on the show here, and I told you in the hallway, hey, we got EJ Manuel on the show. You said, don't go pumping up him now. Now, I didn't know whether that meant we're not interested or don't push his name out there too far. You did a pretty good job of disguising your intentions there.
Well, we did the whole way, I think, and Doug Marone took a lot of flack about not taking Nassib or us not taking Nassib, Ryan, we liked Ryan. We liked Landry Jones, but that we said the same thing every time about these quarterbacks, and I made sure of that we all were on the same page and saying the same things. They all do a lot of good things. If you do the things they do best, if that's what you ask them to do, they're good enough to win with, and that's the way we left it on all of them.
Tell me about Robert Woods and what you saw of him. Was it Barkley's USC Pro Day or the individual workout?
Individual workout.
Okay.
Now, we were at his Pro Day, too, but at his individual workout, got to spend some time with Robert and, got to know him and what kind of kid he was. And as a player, I think a thing that in the reports and in the evaluation by the scouts, a thing that was mentioned every time is this guy is the most NFL-ready of any of these receivers because he's been in a great league, he's been well-coached, and he's ready to do that. So that was important to us.
How good does a kicker have to be picked in the sixth round?
He got to be real good.
Yeah, he must.
Yeah, he got to be real good. I will tell you this, and everybody says this to make themselves look better, but there was three teams called us that were picking him after us. We had him pegged in the sixth. We said he's going in the sixth. If we want him, we got to take him here. If we don't, we're not going to get him. So, and we were right. We got calls immediately after we picked him. That was our guy. That was who we were picking. So,
hey, buddy, this Buffalo Bills roster looks a lot different today than it did back on New Year's Eve, the day after last season ended. Is it better? Are you confident it's a better roster?
Absolutely. You know, we're younger. We're a young team. We got speed, and we got some versatility, and we brought some toughness to this team, I think. And not any reflection off the guys that were here, on the guys that were here, because they did a good job for us. But we needed to get better in some areas, and speed was one of them. And again, because of the way our defense is, we needed some guys that could play more than one spot. So I think we were able to do that.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Buddy Nix, Bills General Manager of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.